studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another national Messiah's Branch satellite radio program. We're broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 23rd, 2013. Folks, if you need help with anything after this program, please call me. Do not hesitate. If you need prayer also, you may call me for that, too. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And for you folks that use the Internet, because now I find out that 15% of the people in the United States don't use the Internet. Well, I really can't blame them. But you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing list at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com, it's kind of like a hub, which you'll find the latest news, you'll find our latest radio programs, you'll find links to our Wichita Mission Church, you'll find all kinds of links to everything. So go to prophecyhour.com and check that out. And you folks that are listening on satellite that don't use the Internet or listening by telephone, please don't hesitate to give me a call. Or for that matter, any of you can call. All right, now then, but it's time for a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I ask that tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and I thank you all for giving us ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, sorry, folks. I did the number one bad thing. I don't know if you heard that, but that was my cell phone going off. And I always even say it before church. Turn them off before church. I turn them off before radio. But I turned it on in between doing some radio this afternoon with Stan Johnson and now. So apologize for the sound if you heard it. Anyway, black mobs and the coming race war, that sounds like quite a line, doesn't it? But you, if you folks can believe that, it was Thomas Sowell who wrote an article for World Net Daily saying just that. And if you don't know him, he's a black man. We're going to ask our guest tonight about him and what kind of impact this had on his book. And this man tonight has been on with us before. We had been talking to him about incident after incident of black on white crimes, mobs maybe, if you will, young black people attacking white people. So let's just get him on and we'll ask him some questions. Are you there with me, Colin Flattery?
Oh, it's great to be back.
Did I pronounce that right? Okay. All right, Colin. Tell us, I'm really impressed with what you said about Thomas. What is that, Sowell?
Thomas Sowell.
So, tell us a little bit, who is this guy?
Thomas Sowell is the biggest brain in the United States of America. He's written the most important stuff. He's an economist. He's written the most important stuff on race and economics of anybody, period. I mean, he's the godfather. To have Thomas Sowell write something about your book. Heck, had I known Thomas Sowell was going to write two articles about my book for National Review and World Net Daily, heck, I would have written that book a long time ago.
Really? He's that well read?
Oh yeah. He's the man. He's the king at the top. Absolutely.
So if you can get him to notice it, then basically the world's going to notice it. When did he write those articles? I kind of picked it up on your webpage, which is White Girl Bleed. By the way, the name of the book is White Girl Bleed a Lot, and it's whitegirlbleedalot.com, correct? That's the
That's
website,
correct,
right? But I'm reading it on your Twitter follower. You know, you got a little Twitter box, and I was reading that on there. And so, cool. So when did he write the articles about you?
Well, he wrote one today.
Really?
For National, you read it. You read the version in World Net Daily. There's another. This is going to appear in hundreds of papers like National Review, Town Hall, American Spectator, Contra Costa Times, the newspapers all over the country. Probably the Washington Times. So his stuff appears in hundreds of papers. It's very gratifying that he took one of the reasons he took note of it is it's really the only book like it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Your book is the only one out there like it. I first read it when it first came out, and what was that, about a year ago?
It was about a year ago, and he wrote about it then as well. Then I visited with you on the air about it then, and happy to be back now.
Yeah, amen. So am I. So, further, folks, we're on our Mission Watch program. We was on about a week ago on our other program, Prophecy Hour, and I had some kind of strange audio problem happen that I couldn't hear you, and so the program kind of got cut up in the flow of it. So we may rehash some of that, all the stuff tonight. Let's start off with this. White Girl Bleed a Lot. Why such a title for a book?
Well, White Girl Bleed a Lot is about an epidemic of black mob violence all over the country, and even crazier, how the media ignore it, condone it, and deny it. So the title of the book comes from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, Pastor, I think you probably get around more than I do. Were you aware that Milwaukee, places like Milwaukee and Minneapolis, are centers of intense and frequent racial mob violence? I was not before I wrote the book.
I was not until I read the book.
Yeah. So the title comes, you remember that then the title comes from the book comes from an incident in Milwaukee. 50 to 100 black people go into a convenience store. They loot the convenience store on video, take their candy and groceries to a park where they met up with a couple of white kids. They beat the stuffing out of them really bad. At one point, a black woman is standing over a white woman. She motions to all of her friends, laughing, points down to the woman, the white woman on the ground, and says, "White girl bleed a lot." Wow. The cops that night did not even take a police report.
Well, now listen, since I first read your book and I had you on the air, it brought it to mind. So, you know, I look at the news every day. I spend hours in the news most every day, because we also have a news service, folks, called the Prophetic News Service, most of which is posted on at prophecyhour.com. But anyway, and so I've been paying attention to the news and, you know, looking to see if any of those things. When I started noticing a pattern, I started seeing reports of flash mobs and maybe young people getting into fights. And in some of the articles, they didn't even talk about whether their color was white or black. It was just young people. And in some, you know, admittingly they did, but they really, I didn't hear any of them talk about them being racial. How could it not?
Most of the articles do not.
Well, how can it, a media that seems to be so obsessed with racism right now in America, I mean, come on, they're calling every Republican they can and Tea Party candidate they can a racist. Isn't this racist if black people attack white people and that's predominantly who their victims are?
Listen, that's exactly right. Listen. We're living in the most race-conscious country in the world. Every day you and I read about black caucuses, black colleges, black churches, many of these stories written by members of the National Association of Black Journalists. And yet when I show these same people stories about epic levels of black mob violence, I show them videos and I show how this happened on video, but how the newspaper totally misreported it. They look, and I say, "What's up with that?" They look at me and go, "Colin, we're colorblind." So, you know, there's been a lot of stuff happening just over the last couple of days. Can I reel off a couple of them?
Go right ahead.
Okay, no particular order. Brooklyn, this is all in the last 7 days. Brooklyn, 10 black people surround a car, a young white couple, take them out of the car, beat the stuffing out of them. A commuter train south of there. A group of black people rampage through a commuter train, rob and beat people, 4 people in the hospital. A couple miles north of there, New Haven, Connecticut, 500 black people are at a party called an all-black affair. There's fighting and property destruction in the restaurant, outside the restaurant, and 2 other restaurants. Nobody was arrested. Same situation in Rochester, New York. 500 people in the movie theater, black people in and out of the movie theater, fighting with police, fighting with each other. Nobody was arrested. Over the weekend, University of Minnesota, a group of black people in 4 separate attacks, attacked 4 separate groups of white students, beat them up, stole their stuff. Virginia State University, a black university, 200 to 300 black people rampaging through the town, rampaging through the campus, beating people up, destroying property. One person got stabbed, one arrested. This is a very long list, Pastor Dan.
Well, it's an incredible list. I picked up this list, I either off of your site. Now, I'll take this for a minute. First off, folks, if you go to his website, White Girl Bleed a Lot, he has 100 videos of black mob violence. And I picked up this list, and Colin, I don't know if it was out of one of your articles or what it was, but I want to read this, what I call short list, to the people. So of these different cities, if you think it's not happening, folks, in your city or someplace close to you, let me give you this short list, and then we'll talk again with Colin. Here are some of the cities that have suffered dozens of attacks in the last few years alone. Chicago, Miami, Philadelphia, Las Vegas, New York, Atlantic City, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Mobile, Kansas City, Denver, Birmingham, Saratoga Springs, Seattle, Portland, Nashville, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Rochester, Wilmington, Georgetown, Greensboro, Peoria, Vallejo, Des Moines, Dallas, Baltimore, Montgomery County, Boston, St. Louis, Brighton Beach, and many, many more. And what's this in about the Iowa State Fair? What happened there?
You must be reading my mind. I was going to say, let's go to Iowa. State Fair, large groups of black people in and outside of the fair in Des Moines beating up white people 3 nights in a row. So the reporters go to the police spokeswoman. She's a cop herself. Her name is Lori Lovarato. I mention her name because she is now my poster child of how the abuse and the denial of this mob violence. I said, "Lori, what's going on? Are black people beating up white people?" She said, "Yeah, it's happening." She was fired the next day. Now, so here's my question, Pastor. If it happens in Des Moines, Iowa, if it happens in all those other places, it happens. What do you think's happening in the rest of the country?
Yeah, amen.
City. Now, you want to talk about Kansas City for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Kansas City, there's a mall an outdoor mall, Kansas City. It's a country club plaza. And for 3 or 4 years, dozens of times a year, in the spring, summer, fall, and winter, large groups of black people gather. They fight. They fight police. They fight each other. They fight other people. And so finally, even the local TV station said, "Listen, this is a perennial problem. They just can't stop it." And so they thought about having a curfew. And so The former mayor, current congressman by the name of Cleaver, says, and this is so crazy, I don't expect you to believe it, which is why I put a link to it in my book. Congressman Cleaver says, "We shouldn't do a curfew because that will just make the black kids mad."
Really? It'll make the black kids mad. Folks, that's like saying, wait a minute. Folks, that's like saying, okay, there's a killer disease out there, and there may be a way to avoid this killer disease, but we're not going to tell you what the killer disease is. I mean, it's like saying there's a problem, but it's not. Which brings to mind, why not? Why not say it? Is it because we're afraid we'll upset the black children or teenagers? I don't get it. Isn't the new? What about the news media? Why do you think that? Any thought on that?
Well, I don't do the why the news media does this or that, but I do extensively how they do it. That's half the book. Every time I report a racial crime, I show how the media consistently misreports it, ignores it, denies it. there's another weird thing in Kansas City. So this has been going on for years in Kansas City. And I write about it in the book. I write about it for WND and InfoWars and other places.
Right.
And so finally, you know, the cops go out there. One of the only things they can do is write a curfew. You know, they write tickets for curfew, right? That's their way of saying, get out of here or else we're going to throw you in jail. They don't want to throw you in jail. So one of the city councilmen in Kansas City, he steps up at a recent meeting and he goes, hey, I don't like these tickets because you're only giving them to black people. Well, the black people are the only ones in the plaza during these hours that are there en masse, causing mass epic scale levels of violence, epic scales of mayhem. And so that's how crazy it is that you know, the councilmen are complaining about that too.
Well, let's go with, let me address something for the folks. I agree totally with you, Colin, for you folks. Listen, the book's written in such a way that if he did give, I'm sure everybody has their personal opinions. Colin has his. But were he to print and do those opinions, it would more than likely be twisted around and take away from the book. This is bringing enlightenment by showing you where it's at, where it's happening, and without putting his proverbial two cents, so to speak, then it makes it harder for them to attack you. You're fixing to, with him talking about the book, you're fixing around, to come around mainstream, more mainstream with this, do you think?
Absolutely, and here's my opinion. You ready for my opinion?
Oh, sure.
My opinion is, nobody gives a darn about my opinion. I just wanted to tell people what's going on. And guess what? If I tell you and show you that I've documented 500, 600, 700, 800 examples of black mob violence, many on videos, do I really have to give you an opinion on that? I don't think so.
Really? I totally agree. And let's go with this. When did you start noticing these things going on?
The first ones I noticed was a case in Philadelphia where there were, if you read the newspaper, it just said there were, you know, some unruly teenagers running through a little part of town called South Philadelphia, which is where all the hipsters hang out in their outdoor cafes. And you know, it sounds like some kids were having a little bit too much fun. It happened over and over and over. Finally, I saw a YouTube of it. And on video, what I saw was 1,000 black people rampaging down the streets of South Philadelphia, stopping traffic, pulling people out of cars, beating people up, going into restaurants, destroying property, stealing things. And the newspapers and police chiefs were just deathly afraid to tell people what was going on. So I kept showing this to people and saying, "What is that? Looks like a race riot to me. Is that a race riot?" They would go, "Colin, race has nothing to do with this." And so I started looking and I started seeing it was happening all over the country. And I thought, you know what? I think somebody's got to write a book about this.
Right. And so when was that? What year was that that you noticed?
It's 2013. So I probably started writing the book in 2010, put out the first edition, maybe, you know, a year or so later.
Right.
So
right.
The new edition just came out yesterday. And the cool thing about the new edition is while you're reading along about all this racial violence, if you take your smartphone out, wave it over the book, wherever you're reading, over the QR code, you'll get a picture in your smartphone of the video of the violence I'm describing in the book. So, very cool.
Well, that's a new innovation for a book. That's really interesting. I mean, I have the old copy, WorldNet Daily, which, by the way, asked me to have you. Well, the publicist, you know, asked me to have you back on, and I said, "Oh, that wasn't a problem." They're supposed to be sending me a copy of the new book. I can't wait to get it.
I'll make sure you get it.
Go ahead. What?
I'll make sure you get one.
Okay. Well, I'd really like to have one. I want to see this new innovation, but. While you talk about these videos, I am on that video page, folks. You don't have a copy yet. You should get a copy, but you go to White Girl Bleed A Lot, and I'm sorry I laughed, but go to White Girl Bleed A Lot, and you go there, and it has a link to the top 100 black mob violence videos. And, you know, there's just no denying it. There's just no denying it when you see that.
Could have been the top 1,000 videos.
Top 1,000? It's kind of like, how many do I show? Now I'm laughing again. But how many do I need to show before you get the point?
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, a lot of the people, like at Salon and MSNBC, they read the book and they go, Colin, that's not happening. But then at the same breath, at the exact same time, this is what they always say. They explain why it is happening. Colin, it's not happening, but it's happening because of 400 years of slavery and oppression. So it's like, hey, would you folks please make up your mind?
But that's a liberal. A liberal talks out of the side of first they deny, and then they make excuses. And the next thing, if you keep talking, they yell over you, you know.
Don't worry about that because it's like, hey, you don't have a problem with me. You've got a problem with the videos. So take it up with the videos. I mean, what's the...
Well, yeah, we'll talk more about that. We're going to have to go to a break. So, tell them where the website's at and what they'll find
easy
over
to
there.
Find the book, microbleedalot.com. Easy to find at Barnes & Noble. Easy to find it at Amazon. So I hope everybody... you know what? And I get a lot of tips from radio listeners. So if you want to follow me on Twitter and let me know what's going on in your neighborhood, let me know. Easy to find there at Colin Flaherty.
Yeah, hey, folks, that's really a great idea. And for those of you that will be listening, you might be listening to this in the archives. You'll find, if you're listening to this in the archives, you're not listening to it live like a lot of you now, just listening on your smartphones and all that, you'll be able to find a link to wherever you find this program on the Internet. There will be a link. And there's about, you know, there's about 5 podcast sites, I think, out there that carry this. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. 4886.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and the poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, the homeless is poor, but we're also talking about the poor from all over the city that know about us and come looking for us for food, clothing, first aid, prayers, the gospel, all kinds of things, one thing after another. We really get no help from any organized churches is because, you know what, folks, with being Messianic and being in Kansas, kind of makes us as an oddball, let alone, you know, we kind of keep different holidays as them. So they all brag about what good a job that we do, but none of the churches or most of the Christians really do help us out. But anyway, it's folks like you that have supported us and help us that we are now in our 14th year that we are making this mission church work. And I want to tell you about just this Sunday, two of the main women's shelters in Wichita claim that one is turning away 50 women a month and the other one is turning away at least 30. Well, why I say it's a shock is normally on to the news media, they don't say those things. The numbers they give, they say we're taking care of everybody. So now a reporter has got them to admit they're turning away 50 at one, 30 at another, and I know the numbers are even larger than that. What happens to these women if they don't have a place to go? They mostly come out of abusive relationships. So you know where they go? Usually back into abusive relationships if there's no place for them to be at. We're really struggling trying to get this shelter open. We're praying that, and I want you to pray with us, that now that the news media has pointed this out, then people will agree and know that there is needed another shelter. But anyway, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people with clothing, food, Bible, shoes, first aid, blankets. This list goes on and on and on. But most important, we've helped them out with the gospel and miracle prayers. But it's such a long list, you know, so we can't say what we do for people. So they just, you know, they walk in and ask. So why do many people come to us for help? Well, love is really the first answer. They're treated as family as the second. And beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People, again, just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. Then if we don't have the way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are responsible, the very last hope for so many folks. We're responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. You can find all this information out at propcr.com if you can get on the internet. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Colin Flatterly talking about white girl bleed a lot. You're there with me.
Happy to be back.
I'm very glad that you're back. I'm just kind of gun-shy because of that last little mishap we had. And you know what? It never happened on any other program or anything, and I could never trace what happened, but I just all of a sudden couldn't hear you anymore. And but I guess that's the way it is with live talk radio. Anyway, Grant, Colin, point out this. I want this part. I want to warn the people in the sense that they could be walking along and just out of the blue come up and get knocked out. What's that all about?
Well, in St. Louis and other places, they call it the knockout game. And at the University of Illinois in Champaign, Illinois, they call it polar bear hunting. Here's how you play the game. You get a bunch of black people together. You find a white person or an Asian person or a woman or a gay person, and you punch them in the face as hard as you can until your arms are tired or they are knocked out or they are dead. I document in the book how this happens all over the country, how one federal judge in St. Louis said one person alone in St. Louis is responsible for 300 examples of the knockout game. And so the black mob violence I write about comes in a lot of shapes and sizes, but when you talk about the knockout game or polar bear hunting, this is the recreational use of black mob violence.
Wow. One person, 300 incidents?
Yeah, there was a group in Chicago who did it. There was a Mexican immigrant in a Chicago alleyway collecting cans in the winter. He ran into some black people who wanted to play the knockout game. This man had 11 children, and this was just a beautiful family, and that father was doing everything he could to support them. They played the knockout game with him. He got knocked out, fell down, hit his head, and died.
Wow.
He's not the only one to die from this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I did read on one incident on the internet, on the internet, WorldNet Daily, where they called it the wrong guy. And
that was an article I wrote for WorldNet Daily.
Oh, did you write that article? Well, tell them about it then. You wrote the article. You tell them. That's better.
So, you know what? This was one of my favorite chapters in the book. This is also in the book.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, there was a group of 15 to 20 black people in Meriden, Connecticut. They were at a playground. They beat up a couple of girls, broke a girl's arm. They decided they were going to, you know, use some more drugs and head to the mall. That's what they did. Mall closes at 9 o'clock. They decided they're bored. They're going to go beat up some white people. So they're walking down the street, and they see somebody walking on the other side of the street. A couple of the kids peel off from the group, though the group was really close by, and they go and attack the guy. The guy pulls a knife out, kills one person, wounds the other. And, you know, right away the cops knew what happened, but they didn't tell anybody for 2 weeks. And for that next 2 weeks, you had all these race hustlers coming to Meriden talking about how this person that died was the new Trayvon and how there's a white person stalking the streets, killing black children. 2 weeks later, they figured out what had happened. And there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of violence directed at people like that. But there's an increasing number of there's an increasing amount of people who are taking more responsibility for their own safety and fighting back. I mean, there was a case just a couple weeks ago I wrote about. I write a lot about this stuff for WND and InfoWars and American Thinker, Front Page, Breitbart, other places. There was a case where they played the knockout game, except the knockout game with a twist. This is happening more often now too. They were using a taser. So
really?
the guy's dropping his kid off at the bus stop for school. Group of black people come out, pull a taser on him, stick it into his ribs, pull the trigger. Nothing happened. Except this. The guy took a gun out and shot the kid.
Wow.
And so he lived. But only because, in front of many witnesses, he begged and plead and moaned and groaned like a little girl for his life.
Right. Right. Well, you know what really bothers me about this? Let's go with this. Do you think that they have been, from the sounds of it, this has picked up, since 2010, and it could have been going on for a while before that, but, you know, clearly brought to attention since then. Do you think this is emboldened at all by the current administration that we have?
You know, I know a lot of people think that, and I know 1 year ago I would have said, I don't know, probably not. But then I started researching another book on critical race theory, which says racism is everywhere, white racism is everywhere, and white racism is permanent. And then I started, then I heard about the case where the Attorney General and the President sent community organizers to Florida to organize protest rallies to get the prosecutors to indict George Zimmerman for the murder of Trayvon Martin. But I still cannot believe they did that. And critical race theory is being taught in grade schools and high schools, and we have whole entire departments at the Department of Education devoted to traveling the country, going into school districts, and making sure that this kind of stuff is being taught in grade schools and high schools. And guess what? They're not hiding it. They're not shy about it. If anybody wants to Google the words courageous conversation and San Leandro, you'll come across a video where it shows for like a half hour they go into one school and outside of San Francisco. They go into a school and everybody's very proud of the fact that they're all learning about racism. They're learning about cultural literacy. They're learning about how relentlessly racist white people are. And so, Pastor Dan, here's my question. If you and I were students in that school and we learned every day that people were racist against us, do you think we'd be a little angry and unhappy about it?
Well, absolutely.
Absolutely. I am the United States of America. But when I see these videos, Pastor Dan, I see a lot of anger on there. I see a lot of resentment. I see a lot of hostility, an enormous amount.
Well, you know, let's go with this. Right since, and I have to talk about this administration. This admit the poverty and the job situation for Black Americans has gotten worse under this president. Honest Black scholars and people like the man that wrote that article about you, these people are pointing out that. You know, that the administration is bringing forward this, but saying, okay, that's what I want to say, is that the fact is that it's gotten worse under this administration, but it seems to me that they're putting the blame on the white people. So the question arises, which you don't have to answer, are they allowing this to happen intentionally? Meaning, do they want something to happen? Are they wanting to cause division? You would think with the first Black president, even that he would have wanted to bring the country together. At least that's what he said, didn't he?
You remember last year when President Obama caused a lot of consternation when he said, "You built that business? You didn't build it." Does that ring a bell?
Oh yeah, sure.
That's like one of the central tenets of critical race theory, is that whatever you think your accomplishments are an illusion, because the only reason you are able to accomplish that is because of your white privilege. So if you're the president of GM, or you built a car, you didn't build that. You only got a chance to do that because of your white privilege, because of racism. Here's what's troubling, Pastor Dan. So we have this enormous, I'll tell you right now, cops tell me that, and people who read the book know this, that the gap between the races is wider and deeper than ever before. Very troubling. But it's even more troubling when you think about all the all the stuff that's being, the relentless racism that is being taught in grade schools and high schools, and how those chickens are coming home to roost. I don't really predict the future, but that's not going to turn out well, Pastor Dan.
Well, of course it isn't. And, you know, that's why part of the reason, folks, that the media is kind of on board for these kind of things or not telling the truth is because most of the media is liberal. Well, why are they liberal? It's because the colleges that they go to learn about journalism and so on and so forth are simply teaching this kind of banner in the colleges. And so, you know, I put this clear back to the 60s. When we had the problems, you know, with the Vietnam War, I'm not going to get into whether it was right or wrong, but it was basically stopped because of the outward protest about it. But where did that come from? Who put that in the kid's head? Well, it was put in the head by liberals and communists. And so, you know, what will we see with this next generation that comes out after this, that have been taught all these things and have been learning under this current administration? No, the future doesn't look good.
Well, okay, that's the bad side. The bright side is there are a lot of people of all races who really are people of goodwill, people of the book, people who do believe, like you and I believe, in one race, the human race, and they're being heard too. They're talking out on talk radio. They write comments when they see news stories in the paper, and I notice there's a lot of them too. So let's keep our fingers crossed and hope the good guys win.
Well, you know what? Fingers crossed, that's a good idea. Prayer, that's number one. But, you know, I try to be an optimist and look at it. I still believe, Colin, that there's more of us than them, meaning there's more Christians in this country, more people of good stature than there are people of bad stature in this country. It's just that the bad people seem to be in the media. And, you know, I believe that if we, the Christians, like you say, are speaking up and speaking out, we need to do that more so. We really need to stand up, folks, and be heard. And you, of course, can be heard at the voting box, but you need to be stand up and heard. If your pastor isn't standing up and talking about it, you need to get him to talk about it, because that's where it should start at, is really in the church.
Pastor Dan, can I give a hint or two to your listeners about how to stay out of trouble when you talk about race?
Very good. Go ahead.
Here's how I stay out of trouble. One, no generalizations. Two, no stereotypes. Three, I don't do a lot of causes and solutions either, because all of a sudden you're generalizing and stereotyping, and that just isn't allowed. And also, you know what? We don't have to apologize for noticing something bad. And so stay away from the generalizations and stereotypes and apologies, and I think we're allowed to stand up and speak the truth and say, hey, what about the 500 people in New Haven, Connecticut, the 500 black people at a party called an all-black affair, or the Indianapolis Black Expo, or Black Bike Week, or Black Beach Week? All of these things are examples of epic levels of mob violence, and you're trying to tell me it has nothing to do with race? Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why your book is so important and your website is so important. Folks, you need to share this website with other folks because, you know, looking at, like I said before, and I've said it several times, but I want to emphasize it again. I'm looking at the page that says top 100 black mob violence videos. You can point to that and, you know, say, well, if it's not happened, well, give me your opinion. Here's what's going on. What do you think? Instead of saying, I mean, you know, the issue becomes apparent. And, you know, we need to pray. And, folks, I know I have some listeners out there that, in which normally I don't say, well, I've got black listeners, but I do have black listeners, and you do contact with me. You, folks, are the ones that also need to be sharing this information and doing something about it, because it's your youth that is dying. And if we have a president that's not footering any race, it doesn't matter whether black, white, green, or purple, then that president needs to be voted out, and the administration that are making those laws with him. And so, you know, you need to vote at the voting box. What do you think?
You know, Pastor, that's about the best summation I've heard of that whole thing in a long time.
Well, thank you. Amen. It's just that
Pastor, people of goodwill are going to have to solve this problem.
Right.
People of goodwill are going to have to get rid of the hustlers and the pimps and the punks and the pundits who are creating this racial division. Listen, as long as we have racial division, there's going to be, you know, behind every story of a black caucus or a black college or black church, there's a story of resentment and anger and hostility. Every one, that's the backstory. And I think as long as we have these kind of divisions, we're going to have a lot of resentment and violence. So people of goodwill are going to have to step up on this one.
Well, amen. And go with this. Before, I'm just stating a fact. Before 2008, I had really never considered race an issue anymore. I run a mission church. Black people come in, Indians come in, you know, the Indians come up from Oklahoma and get drunk, by the way, and it's kind of funny, but we have, you know, black, white, Indians, you know, all sorts of people in there, and I don't see really any racism, you know, at all. About one time I was called a racist by a black man, and the other black man, you know, ran him out. And it was simply because I was enforcing the rules. But the point
here's
is...
Here's what I hear. I get mail from a lot of cops. I meet with a lot of cops. New York, Chicago, Houston, Seattle, Portland. And here's what I ask them. I say, when you stop a black person in a car or at a store or in the normal course of your duties, how often do they say, the only reason you stopped me is because I'm black? Every single one of the 20 cops that I talked to, active and retired, gave me the exact same answer. 100% of the time, a black person being stopped by a cop will say, you're only doing this because of my race. There's something wrong with that.
Well,
you know what?
Clearly.
Hey, Pastor, if we're all a bunch of racists, and if the cops are all a bunch of racists, okay. You know what? I guess it's important to hear that, too. I don't think that's the truth, but I guess that's important to know. Either way, we're not hearing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we're not hearing it. Wow. Well, Colin, I'm glad that you've been on with me. Any final thoughts and then give your website and everything and tell them where to get the book? Tell them what's in that book again.
The book is about White Girl Bleed A Lot is about an epidemic of black mob violence and how the media ignores it, excuses it, denies it. Easy to find at whitegirlbleedalot.com or Amazon or at your favorite bookstore. New editions out with all sorts of new stuff in it. And if anybody wants to follow me on Twitter where I tweet the latest stuff on racial violence around the country, I'd be honored to have you come follow me at Colin Flaherty.
Well, that's great. Thanks for being on with me, and I can't wait to get the book in the mail. I want to see this new version of the book where you tell them what that it does with the smartphone again.
Oh, we have QR codes in there, and I have to confess, I only recently learned to use them myself. I was astonished how simple they are to use. They look like little postage stamps, right? We've all seen them, but they look like postage stamp with, like, you know, black markings on the inside, like little mazes. So all you do is take your phone out, you wave it over the little thing, directions are in the book, and next thing you know, you're seeing the violence that I'm writing about. You're seeing the violence on your smartphone on video. So it's very cool, and people at WND Books did a great job on it.
Well, they do, WorldNet Daily does do a good job with their books, and that's right, you know, top of the line. So can't wait to see it, and I'm really glad you came back and talked to me, and it's been a good interview, and thanks for being on, brother. We'll talk
all the best,
soon.
Pastor Dan. Hopefully I get a chance to say hello to you in person someday.
All right. You be blessed, brother. Bye. Well, folks, the name of the book is White Girl Bleed A Lot. I think you need to buy more than one copy. Give them out to your friends. we need to talk about this, you know, because it's like, say, I mean, come on, I never even thought racism was an issue until a couple of years after Obama was in office, and now I'm sick of hearing racist. Every time the left starts to lose an argument, they start screaming racist. Just like now, they call the Tea Party racist. The Tea Party is not racist. The Tea Party has always been a peaceful thing. Sure, there's a couple of people in it that might have a Confederate flag or something. Really, it depends on why you have the Confederate flag, whether you're racist or not. But point being, just merely a Confederate flag does not mean that you're racist. Go through the South, you'll see lots of them. But the point is that they're not, but yet right now in the news media, senators and others are doing fundraising things using a cross as a T with the cross all in flame and, you know, saying if the shoe fits, wear it. Well, the shoe doesn't fit. The Tea Party is not racist. The Tea Party are the only ones over there. They're not establishment. And, you know, the establishment people in Washington, even on the Republican side, they are, most of them are establishment. That means they're just there to do business. And while they may say, hey, man, let's act like you're winning this week and we'll act like we're winning next week, knowing fully well what they're going to do anyway. And that's to further align their own pocketbooks. Greed is the name here. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. And so you send these people off to Congress. They were never meant to become career politicians. That wasn't the way it was supposed to be. They would have put some kind of other provision in the Constitution for it. But they probably didn't, because they probably didn't foresee how long men are actually living right now. Anyway, we're gonna have to get out of here. I want you to really pray today about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. We need your help to keep the doors open, and we need your help to get the woman's shelter open. Pray about it. It's just a few thousand dollars that we need to get that, open up that shelter, and so pray for us, folks. We must remember there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.